quote from Man Makes Himself, Russian excavators have shown that the Predmostian hunters, and these were of East and Central Europe, erected substantial half-subterranean houses to live in. So we finally refigured out Earth ships after 10,000 years. We have finally refigured out. And I shouldn't say that it's only just now that the Earth ships have existed, because even a few thousand years ago, there were Earth ship structures in what's now called Ecuador, and probably much more broadly throughout the region and on this side of the Big Pond. So, I mean, this is old technology that we so modern folk were stripped of. Knowledge we were stripped of. Why? Because it enables us to be self-sufficient. Oh, no, can't have that. We must have everything be converted to commodities with bills attached. Drowning in paper are we. So there were these half-subterranean houses some 10,000 years ago. Continuing, economically, each group was self-sufficient, but self-sufficiency does not mean isolation. Shells brought from the Mediterranean have been found in the caves of central France. And my interjection, to repeat a point from last week, that our nature is to learn from each other. Our nature is movement, flow, synthesis. That's our endowment. Continuing, conditions in the Nile Valley would have been exceptionally favorable to the deliberate cultivation of cereals. The Nile, swollen by the monsoon rains on the Abyssinian Plateau, overflows its banks with remarkable regularity every autumn. The flood arrives at a convenient season when the heat is no longer so intense as to scorch young shoots. And so, Perry, another scholar, suggests, the reliable and timely Nile flood first prompted men to plant seeds deliberately and let them grow. And natural irrigation would be the prototype of all systems of cultivation. A group always on the brink of starvation dare not risk change. The least deviation from the traditional procedures that have been found to yield the essential modicum of subsistence may imperil the whole group. Of chieftainship, there is, and the connection here is that, because I've sort of just given you snippets from the work, but the thread that I'm kind of thinly showing here is that he's presenting class, the evolution of class, as a innovation that gets the ball rolling from the perspective of folks who think like that. And I think there's other ways to look at it. And I believe Kropotkin did too. Continuing. Of chieftainship, there is no definite evidence in early Neolithic cemeteries or villages. And my interjection, he begins this chapter by saying 15,000 years ago is a generous estimate of the post-glacial ice age period, post-ice age period, as against a conservative figure of 250,000 years for the preceding era. And that is very conservative. Yet in the last 20th of his history, man has begun to control nature, or has at least succeeded in controlling her by cooperating with her, unquote. And that's, I was quoting Mr. Child from an earlier section of the book. And I think it's debatable whether cooperation with her is controlling her. I mean, that didn't make any sense to me. But then, I am not of this mindset. So continuing with this section. But I invite us to consider, and this is me, obviously. I invite us to consider the notion that a far more accurate way of seeing the project we're told is progress is one of controlling us, we the people. Continuing, nor is there unambiguous evidence of warfare. As to the magical religious notions that held Neolithic communities together, a few guesses may be hazarded. Cultivation may have required a closer observation of the seasons, a more accurate division of time, the year. Agricultural operations are essentially seasonal, and their success is largely dependent upon the time of their performance. But the proper season is determined by the sun, not by the moon's phases, which provide a calendar for hunters. In northerly latitudes, the changes in the sun's path between the solstices are conspicuous enough to provide clues as to the seasons. The observation of such clues would emphasize the sun's role as ruler of the seasons and guarantee his divinity. But near the tropics, the sun's movement is less striking. There, the stars, always visible in those cloudless skies, provide a more obvious means of determining and dividing the solar year. You note that certain stars or constellations take up a significant position in the sky at the time when experience suggests you should plant your crops. Others, when you may expect rain to ripen them. By so using the stars as guides, and by the way, this is just another area where we have lost knowledge. I'm afraid if we compare ourselves to our ancestors of 10,000 years ago, we would suffer by comparison when it comes to true knowledge, the knowledge that we need for managing our own lives, becoming powerful in an authentic sense, connection with the earth. Continuing. By so using the stars as guides, men may have come to the belief that they actually influence terrestrial affairs. You confuse connection in time with causal connection. Because the star Sirius is seen on the horizon at dawn when the Nile flood arrives, it's inferred that Sirius causes the Nile flood. Astrology is based on this sort of confusion. A plausible but rather speculative and certainly much oversimplified account of the genesis of the Egyptian monarchy would run as follows. In the prehistoric village, communities of self-sufficing food-producing clans whose cemeteries line the Nile Valley may have fallen under the sway of a class of magicians. By the time most individual villagers, having found their private magics futile, were prepared to rely on the magic of the cleverer persons, some acquired a little authority by successful pretensions to influence the fertility of the crops, the weather, and the Nile flood. The invention of a solar calendar making possible the accurate prediction of the flood's advent would be a sure way of justifying such pretensions and consolidating such authority. To enforce them, the actual power of cutting off real water by blocking irrigation channels would be an effective means. And that's unquote from Man Makes Himself by V. Gordon Childe.